One who thinks without acting is like a hunter who aims his gun but never fires it. The one who acts without thinking is like the hunter who fires his gun without aiming it. Both of these, thinking and acting, we find in the book of Philippians chapter 4, in verses 8 and 9. Paul begins the segment with the word finally. And if you were reading the beginning of the chapter, Paul is concluding his discourse in this matter of being able to encourage and edify and build us up, but also in how we are to conduct ourselves. To think like a Christian, we must be thinking on the correct traits. And Paul begins these traits with the word true, something that is genuine or real. Then he goes on with the word honorable, which we could also use the word noble. The things that are lofty, majestic things, things that can lift our mind from the cheap and the crude to those things that are noble and good and of moral worth. The word just refers to doing what is right, whether it is to God Himself or to our fellow man. The word pure also comes from the root word that we find holy, morally undefiled. And then the word lovely, meaning toward love. The response that we get when we act and think the way we should. Paul ends these traits with the word commendable. Some translations may have the word gracious, being well spoken of. These lists of qualities that Paul describes here is followed by two conditional phrases. If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. I guess we could say that Paul is trying to get across the thought of if there's anything excellent, if there is, and there is, if there's anything that is worthy of praise, and there always is, then we should respond in a certain way. So what is the proper way to respond? The first is right thinking. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. We are to think carefully. We are to make the aforementioned traits the subject of our thoughtful consideration. This morning, our lesson was on focus. And these are the things that we need to focus on. These words, true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and commendable. What is important is not so much the definition of these words, but the general impression that's left by the combination of these words. Now think about these things. In our conversations with people, what do we try to convey? Things that are good and uplifting, in contrast to those that are dirty and degrading. Paul's admonition, if we want to look at it in the negative side, would probably read something like, don't let your mind dwell on things that are false, dishonorable, immoral, and so on and so on. Now, a conversation I had with someone a few weeks ago, they were trying to convey the thought that God is not interested in words, that it doesn't matter what we speak, how we speak, the words that come out of our mouth isn't of a consequence. But I say it is. The language that we hear so often today in society is not a conversation or language that God likes to hear. Let our speech be seasoned with salt is one of the verses that come to mind. The mind naturally dwells on something. So Paul is telling us to fix our thoughts on good things, not the bad things. We need to stay positive and not negative. We need to do those things which build up instead of tear down. There were two discoveries that was made in modern psychology. And there's a lot of people that probably don't believe this. One is that our lives are governed by our thoughts. And the second one is that we can control our thoughts. With that being said, we do have the power within us, in a sense, to control our lives. Solomon in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, Solomon wrote, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat, drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Paul is reminding us in Philippians 4 to think on these things. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. The soul is dyed by the color of his thinking. Some will probably say, I can't control my thoughts. From time to time, bad thoughts slip through my mind, and there's nothing I can do about it. There's an old saying that says you can't keep birds from flying overhead, but you surely can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Every one of us have thoughts that we shouldn't have. But the question is, not will we have them, but will we dwell on them? When these thoughts come into our hearts and our minds, Paul is telling us to think on the things that are true and honest and just and pure. The more we focus on those thoughts, the easier it will be to control our thoughts. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Why do you think Paul wants us to concentrate our thoughts to edifying things? Does he just want us to work on these things as a mental exercise? See, I think Paul is a lot wiser than we possibly think we are. Because Paul knows that those thoughts will shape our actions. It's not adequate to think like Christians and not act like Christians. And in acting like Christians, we need the right teaching. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20, Paul told the brethren here, the folks here, that they heard Paul teach and preach. And he says in this verse, how did I not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you in public and from house to house? Then he goes on in verse 27, and he further says, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul reinforced this in Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, when he told Timothy to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. You see, these folks had heard and learned God's word from Paul. They weren't fortunate like we are and are able to open up the Bible and see these words. And as Paul taught them, Paul left it up to them to be able to comprehend what he taught and to remember it. And it's no different for us. In John 6, verse 45, Jesus taught, it is written in the prophets, that they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The Philippians saw the example of Paul. They followed his example. And that's a good thing to do, to be able to have someone who is giving us the model to go by. But unlike the Pharisees that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 23 and verse 3, he said, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach and do not practice. What Paul taught, Paul also did. There's nothing better that helps us in our understanding than an appropriate example. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. In Titus 2 and verse 7, it says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity and dignity. Just as it was vital for them to receive the information from Paul, it is also vital for us to be able to take it all in. And we must accept and abide in those teachings. Jesus warned us in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord and Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Being taught right is not enough. We also need the right training. Why, in verse 9 of Philippians 4, Paul says to practice these things. Means to make it a habit. Now, I'm sure that the Maddoxes did not become excellent in drag racing by sitting there and looking at their cars. They practiced those things. They learned from those things. Every time they go down the track, there's a learning curve. We process what we're doing, and it leads to more accomplishments. If we're practicing the words Paul says in verse 8, as we continue to practice and think on those things and dwell on those things, eventually they become natural. What is it that limits our capabilities? Now, growing up, starting in the third grade, my mom and dad bought me and my brother a couple of instruments. A clarinet, which I got, my brother got the saxophone. His one looked a lot cooler than mine did. His was brass, mine was black. And I know that my parents didn't have a lot of money to spend, and they bought used instruments, and it still cost them a pretty penny. What I didn't realize was what they were going to make me do every night for 45 minutes. That was practice. They didn't like the first week of it because my first clarinet lesson had nothing connected to the clarinet except the mouthpiece, and all we did was blow in it. So for 45 minutes, the first time I had to practice, all I did was blow in that mouthpiece. Trust me, it's not a pleasant sound. But eventually, everything would flow together. Each time, we became better and better. There were less squeaks. There were less sour notes. Practice these things. If we want to excel in sports, we must practice. And if we don't like to practice, we'll never excel. There are many Christians today who are unwilling to develop their skills of Christian living because they do not want to practice. The last part of verse 9 in Philippians 4 says, "And the God of peace will be with you." This is where we return to the theme of peace. Thinking on these things, acting on these things should bring us peace. In order for us to have access to the peace of God, we must think clearly. Jesus is that personification of the virtues mentioned in verse 8. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." If we are thinking clearly, now is the time to think appropriately. God has put in place his plan of salvation. Hearing, the believing, the repenting, confessing, and baptism, God has placed them all there in a very simple plan. But we can read it. We can read it every day. But if we never act on it, all we're doing is pointing a gun and never pulling a trigger. If you are a Christian tonight, are you practicing being a Christian? Or is it just a name? Is it just a group that you socialize with? We can take our minds and go back to the person, the people that we used to be on a regular basis. We go back and we realize there are some things that we really need to change. Now's the time to do it. When we open up our Bibles by ourselves and read, when we take the time and offer up prayers, it will aid us in the changes that we need to make. It will help us to be able to focus on the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation, we want to give you that opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.